Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Well, today as we look to the Word, I want you to anticipate the Holy Spirit reaching into your life to touch you. When He touches us, He brings a compassion in that heals us, that resets our life, that reconfigures things, that calms us down, that comforts us. That it's amazing that the same God that can stir us up brings a comfort in at the same time. That's because when He's stirring us up, He is changing things around in our thinking so that we can line up with His thinking. His thinking, if you want to understand who our Heavenly Father is, and we're kind of focusing on that in the near term, He is just waiting, looking for any opportunity to reach into your life with His mercy. That means His power and His goodness that we didn't deserve, we didn't earn, that really is just because of who He is. And He knows that we need who He is. Now, sometimes we get caught up in this life thinking, well, why did this happen to me? Or why did I deserve this? Or how did God let this happen? God's not responsible for letting bad things happen. Most bad things are due to our ignorance to how to stop them. And sometimes just because we're in this world, we start to think we know the answers and we've got it under control and we're smart. And then something happens and we recognize none of the above could possibly be true, especially the we're smart part. You know, if you've ever had a setback, it makes you feel anything but smart. But God is the kind of God, our Heavenly Father is the kind of Heavenly Father that knows we're going to have those challenges. And He wants to always stir us up toward hope, and He does that through His nature, because He put His nature in us. Now, if you've come into a challenging season, I want you to know that God's into your challenge. And He's in there to work through it with you, to make all things work together for your good, because He's called you to a life that's like His character, a life that embraces who He is so that we can have a better life than we would have by ourselves. And that's the nature of our Heavenly Father. I just wanted to say that to kind of break the ice. I came up in a time and a season in the church world and in a family too where, I don't know, we just thought the nature of the Heavenly Father was, Jesus was the one that laid down His life, and the Holy Spirit was kind of like the mother part of God, but the Heavenly Father, He carried the stick, and He was going to get you if you did wrong. And when you look at the Scripture, you'll find a hard time seeing that description of a Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father had to judge sin. He hated to, but He sent Jesus to do that. He hated to have to deal with sin. He never expected that to happen in the world. He didn't want it to happen. But Jesus came to set us straight with the Heavenly Father. Jesus was the perfect example of the Heavenly Father's mercy and grace toward us. And He said, Jesus, go show them who I really am. And Jesus came to give His life for us so that we could have a better kind of life. And that's who our Heavenly Father is. I think when we meditate and think about who He is, we do better to receive from Him. If you don't know it, John 10 says that the thief, the devil, is the one out to destroy us. The Heavenly Father is out to give us life more abundantly. And I'm going to keep pointing that out because I have to stop and think about that. Every time something seems to happen to any one of you that isn't good, you might think about it regarding yourself, but your pastor thinks about it regarding everybody. When I hear of something unfortunate or something that's caused pain or something that caused loss, I get aggravated about it and I have to think, now wait a minute. Heavenly Father, You've got the mercy and grace to cover that mess that just happened or that hurt that just happened. And I can't say enough to you about that's who He is. When we come to church, of anything we should expect is to be touched by the mercy and loving kindness and tenderness of our God. And when we come looking for that, He will be that. Because He wants to express Himself in the way we're looking for Him. Well, I've said for years now, and I'll keep saying it, if we're going to err on anything as a church, we're going to lean toward mercy instead of judgment. We're not going to ever be harsh or critical. We're going to lean toward, we're going to be loving and kind and easy. And if God has something tough to do with somebody, let him do it. Did you know he's well able? If somebody needs to have a stern word, he can do it. Now, we have to look at God's scripture, though, the word that he put in place, and some of it's kind of stout and strong. Here's kind of what I do as your pastor. Once in a while, I'll bring you a strong word. We had one a couple weeks ago. And you remember, we were talking about modern day issues and how it's affected the body of Christ and what the scriptures say about some things. Well, as we do that, we're going to balance it with the goodness of God. Because the word of stoutness, when God gives us a strong word, it's so that we recognize there is a devil to stay away from. There is a hell to shun. There is a Lord Jesus to gain, and there is a heaven to gain. And we are the battleground. You are the battleground. Your family is a battleground. And the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of any stronghold. Now, the mighty through God part comes about thinking about that. Because you're going to have plenty of time to think about life's challenges. They will keep coming your way. The only way to counter that is think about, wait, God is the God of all challenges. He's the God in the middle of my challenges, and he is my Heavenly Father. And he's the Heavenly Father that loves me. Now let's look at the scripture, Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9, that say something about our Heavenly Father. And this is Old Testament, and I would say if you want to look for judgment, you'll look in the Old Testament. But here in the Old Testament is Heavenly Father, and he's not calling him somebody angry and judgmental. The Lord is gracious. That means he's wonderfully kind and good. And he is full of compassion, and it literally means if you touch him, it'll get on you. He's full of compassion. Slow to anger. I like that. And great in mercy, or of great mercy. That means a kind of mercy beyond anything that we can expect. He said, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies over all his works. His tender mercies preside over all his works. So no matter what's going on in our lives, he is looking at us through the eyes of tender mercies. And he's saying, I am here to help Ben. I am here to help Brian. I think I'm even here to help Trevor. He is here to help Trevor. He's here. That's how he looks at us. He's not looking at, oh, you got to get something right first. He's saying, let me help you so you can get something right. I like that approach. I like that a lot better than let me fix it and then God will approve. He approves to help us fix it, whatever it is. Now, that's just an overarching truth of who our Heavenly Father is. Gushing with mercy to help us. And I believe today he's going to touch some lives. I believe we've taught just enough on this that he can begin to reach in and do some things. And here's the kind of God we serve. He's in tender mercies. That means he's going to be private and gentle and specific with each person. He knows what's hurting. He knows the nature of what's hurting. He knows the nature of the setback. He knows the nature of the discouragement. He knows the nature of the trap that you might be in. And he is for getting you out of trouble. Always, 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 no exception, always, because he's the Heavenly Father. Now, Jesus wants us to learn how to operate in these tender mercies. Last week we talked about what he's done for us, and we're going to receive some of that today from him. I believe he's literally going to reach in and touch you. I perceive an overwhelming presence of the Lord this morning. And his presence is not just to say something. God's not first a big mouth, though he is a talker. If you look at the scripture, he says, you'll know me in my words. But he talks because he's trying to tell us what he wants to do. God's not a busybody just trying to make us feel bad by what he's saying because we may be not experiencing what he's saying. He wants to tell us so we know what to expect. He wants to tell us something so we can believe it. He wants to tell us something so that we can have faith in his word that he's going to do it, that he's going to keep it. Now, this is Ephesians chapter 2 in the New Testament, and talking about the same Heavenly Father, but God the Heavenly Father, who is rich in mercy, there it is, rich, rich in mercy, rich in mercy. That means He has an inexhaustible supply at His disposal. It's a part of His character, and it oozes out of Him. That's rich. Rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He already loved us. He sent Jesus to prove that. Even when we were dead in sins, He has quickened us. He's talking about mercy here. He's quickened us in His mercy. That means if we want to receive from the Lord, we'll stir up our thoughts about Him being merciful. That's not stirring up His thoughts about the big stick, but stirring up His thoughts about His love and great reward, His tenderness, His tendency to want to right away accept our repentance and say, that's under the blood and I see it no more. I see You and I love You. I like that approach. If God had been a school teacher, He'd have been my favorite. Why? He looks beyond the moment. And every school teacher does too. They look beyond the moment's problem to the solution. Now, He says, even when we were dead in sins, He has quickened us, past tense, in His mercy. That's what He's talking about. Together with Christ. He did something when Jesus came into our lives and into our hearts when we accepted Him as Savior. He quickened something on the inside. That means He turned something on. He turned a switch on. And the way you eliminate the sense of judgment in your life is you make sure the switch of mercy's been turned on. Now, we do that by seeing God the right way. If we're going to see Heavenly Father as the judge, I said last week, and I remember moments when Mother would let us know Dad was coming home as the judge. Your father will be home at 7 o'clock. And everything grew silent and still. And everybody's best behavior came out, where if it happened an hour before, Dad coming home would have a different connotation. See, usually we look at the Heavenly Father according to our own behavior and what we think at the moment. He doesn't change because of our behavior. He's the same all the time. When we have that shift or change and we think He might look upon us differently, it means we have a need for repentance. He's not going to change His mind. We need to change our mind. So as we share Scripture, sometimes when Scripture seems to reach out and touch us in a way like, that is me, we need to just say, Lord, that's me. I'm going to make a shift here because I want to experience Your love. I'm going to keep the quickened part of me toward Your mercy and not an expectation for something else to go wrong. Have you ever had a few things go wrong and you think, what next? That's when I want to shift my attention on the mercy and grace of Heavenly Father and say, I know what's next. You're going to reach out and touch my life. That's what's next. Now, there's degrees of quickening. I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is the person of God with us now. When we say Jesus is living in our heart, it's His Spirit. We know Jesus went to heaven. Jesus is seated in heavenly places now at the right hand of the throne of Heavenly Father. But He said, I will send to you another comforter. And He was speaking of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the comforter and the teacher who quickens us to who the Heavenly Father is. The Holy Spirit is who will get this word through to you today. I'm just going to say the things that He said to say, but for you to get it, He's got to do something with you, because I don't know how to make you get it. I don't know how to reach into your heart and touch you on the inside. He does that. And that's why we come together, to give God the opportunity to take His word and put it on the inside of us, so that it can quicken our life. What does that mean? It becomes a seed that's going to grow, and it's going to eventually break the ground, and there's going to be a harvest of what we have received in our heart because we chose to believe it. Heavenly Father wants us to have a harvest of who He is. Heavenly Father is into getting things to you the easiest possible way. The Scriptures that we think is, it's a manual for living. It's a guide for living. It's not a guide for living just so that we're pleasing to God. It's a guide for living so that He can get His blessing into our life. It breaks the power of the enemy over our life. It breaks the stronghold of the enemy over our life. If you don't believe that basic truth, it's hard for God to get anything over to you. But if you understand who the Heavenly Father is and He's just gushing with the opportunity to do something for you, you begin to think differently. And if you recognize it doesn't have to do with you deserving it, that helps a lot. If you're bound up this morning by thinking you've got to be in a position for God to bless you, when you accept Jesus, you're in position. You've been quickened for the blessing. He's not waiting for you to straighten out your life so He can bless you. He wants to bless you so you can straighten out your life. And everything happens as we go. It happens by degree. So there's quickening by degree. You can hear scripture, you can hear preaching, and never change unless you get in touch with the quickener. You say, Holy Spirit, I believe that has something to do with me. I believe that has something to help me. My attitude and my opinion of Heavenly Father has radically changed over a lifetime. Because I grew up, my parents knew a lot of word, but they knew more about the judgment side of God than the grace of God. Most of us did way back when. It's what we'd been taught, you know, almost like God's watching, and if you're not good, He's going to squash you like a bug, you know. And I remember thinking that as a kid, especially going to church, we'd just sit there afraid to move. Why? Thinking God's watching. Well, He's watching all the time, but He's watching, looking for a way to get something through to us, looking for us to believe in Him the right way. I remember through the years learning, and even from my grandparents, my dad's parents were very, very stern. Went to church. I always went to church, but even at that church, you couldn't have instruments to play. It was too worldly. So when we'd go, we were like the outcast grandchildren because we felt like we were too worldly. And I remember having this opinion of God, of the Heavenly Father being stern. Because grandfather could look like, make a little look sideways out of it, and you just were in great fear. And we thought that was the fear of God. That wasn't a true picture of Heavenly Father and His expression of His love through Jesus. Now, I'm not critical of them. They taught us what they knew, and it was good foundation. But I'm thankful for the quickening of the Holy Spirit to reveal to me that God's about loving His children, and He doesn't really like to ever have to spank them. I had a few spankings. My wife never had any. So I marvel. I say that because I marvel at her picture of her earthly father had some similitude to our Heavenly Father. He goes to every length to love us into doing what we're supposed to do without having to have us experience anything tough. I want you to recognize it's going to take a little while for you to get an idea of who Heavenly Father is. You kind of had a wrong picture of Him. Now, this is Jude chapter 1 because he's teaching us how the Holy Spirit will help us receive this quickening, how the Holy Spirit will help us understand that we're children of the Most High God who is loving. Now, He's speaking of a generation that is sensual before this. That means we live in a world that goes by feelings. We live in a world that goes by selfishness. We live in a world where people increasingly become self-focused and about preserving self. Well, I think we've seen that continue in the earth. A lot of self going after their own. Scripture uses lust, but it really means desires. Watching out for oneself. So He advises us to stay prayed up in the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? We pray and talk to God about the nature of our Heavenly Father and the nature of our life, and we stay in a position of prayer. Now, for those of you filled with the Holy Spirit, you know that can mean praying in your prayer language. But if you're not yet filled, if you've not yet had that experience, you can stay activated by the Holy Spirit praying through you the goodness of God. Not any severity, but the goodness of God. And begin to meditate on that and begin to be stirred up about that, and it will keep you from going the way of the world. Now, the goodness of God does that. So He says, keep yourselves in the love of God by looking for the mercy. He's teaching us how to pray with the Holy Spirit's help. When you hear somebody pray, you should hear them make contact with the love of God. You should hear them make contact with expecting the mercy of God to reach in and do something. You should hear the tenderness of God. You know, a lot of folks that I encounter that have harsher church backgrounds don't understand the mercy and grace of God is not due to performance. It was due to Jesus taking care of our non-performance. Jesus taking care of that. And it's a whole new way of thinking to think, wait a minute, if God is authorizing prayer, He's saying it will have love in it, and it will be the kind of love that's looking for mercy. So if I'm going to come over here and I'm going to pray for Brother Craig, he thought he was getting away with it sitting back three rows today. You know, let's say I know everything there is to know about Brother Craig, but I don't, but let's say I do. Let's say we go clear back to like second grade, all right, and I know all about the stuff in his life. God authorizes me to do what God does. He looks beyond any stuff and doesn't notice it. And he comes and he prays the love of God. And this is kind of hard to imagine that God would approach us this way. And he's looking for where can he have mercy? Not how to straighten this brother out, not how to get in his head and put the screws to his thinking, but rather how to love him and how to show mercy. Now, if we become that to other people, we've unlocked the secret of the goodness of God. And understand, this is the praying that the Holy Spirit is authorizing. He's saying, if you're going to minister life, if you're going to help people, a wonderful thing about this generation is there's a great move to help people. I'm for that. But I'm for doing it the way Heavenly Father says to do it. That means the way is always going to first be, let me get preoccupied with the love of God toward Joanne. Let me meditate on that a minute before I'm going to approach Joanne and talk to her or pray for Joanne. Why? I'm going to see the goodness of God all over her. And in seeing the goodness of God all over her, I might know something the Heavenly Father wants me to pray for her good, to bless her life. I might see a place where mercy could work. Now, I didn't watch Joanne walk in this morning, but had she been limping, it'd be a place for the Lord to work. Well, if I saw a limp, I wouldn't think, I wonder, did she fall in the snow? I'd be thinking, mercy. Why? We live in a fallen world where we're going to be challenged. And if you're looking at me, I'm going to ask you to do this. Think mercy. Get plenty of judgment, don't you? I mean, judgment abounds. Why? We live in a fallen world where the devil does that. But when the people of God are at work, if the Holy Spirit is quickening us to mercy, we're going to have to stop and let Him stir us up about that and think about that. When we're talking to somebody and wanting to be a witness, this is how you're Jesus' witness. It's simple, really, but it takes a second. Let the Holy Spirit quicken you to think love and mercy. Not love and let me tell you a word or two. Not love and let me redirect your life. Not love that makes you feel guilty, but love that points to the mercy of God. I like people around me like that. Don't you? I mean, that's who God made us to be. That's our family code. All right? Now, he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. That means it's up to us individually to do that. And we do it by looking for the mercy. If somebody calls you up and they want prayer, look for mercy, and that's what you pray. You might hear the problem. Fine. Look for the mercy. Now, he says, he continues to say, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That means that's how we're going to operate the whole time we're in the earth. And of some have compassion. Of some, why not all? Well, when you look at what that really means, it says of some, learn to discriminate. Or it means this, learn how to operate with the Holy Spirit's help. Because there's two approaches that we make in situations with people that's the mercy of God. Sometimes it's gentle, other times it's strong. You ever experienced strong mercy? I remember as a kid experiencing this, we would tear down old hedgerows and fence rows and clean up farmsteads. You know, 40 years ago, that was a lot of that going on around here. There used to be a house every 80 or 160 acres farmstead. About half of them were empty when I was a kid, so people started taking them down. And we three kids were real good at helping take them down and burn things. And I remember lighting a burn pile, and I don't know, I was maybe 10 years old, and we put tires in them in those days. And I don't know if it was to get rid of the tires to make the blaze big, but it did both. And we'd light, and I remember Dad having us help, but I remember thinking that I would help him and light one of the burn piles because the wind came out of the right way. And I did it, and as I did it, this arm grabbed me by my hoodie, they call it now a sweatshirt, we called it those days, grabbed me by the neck of it and took me and threw me. Probably, it felt like 50 feet, but I think it's probably 15 or 20. I went pretty much flying through the air, and I was at least 100 pounds at 10 years old. But Dad threw me as he ran, and it scorched our backs because in the mix was a little more gas than I thought. Now, no kids will try that ever at home. But we thought we were helping, and I share that story because it's a picture of strong mercy. I didn't know what hit me until I hit the ground and rolled and saw Dad rolling right beside me, and our backs were scorched and the back of those hoodies was kind of melted like. But we got away. That's strong mercy. Then there's the tender kind of mercy that would be more like Grandma had, where she'd just try to gently talk us into doing right, and we were supposed to do it, or she could get strong too. In the same Holy Spirit is strong and tender, and it's what we need at the moment. But he's saying here in Ephesians that we're supposed to understand that. We're supposed to understand that sometimes he wants to snatch us out of a situation. Sometimes he wants your words and your actions to snatch somebody out of trouble. Sometimes he wants us to be gentle about it. And he's saying here, we make a difference because we let the Holy Spirit show us how to do it. Whenever we're in an emergency, there's emergency services. God's mercy works like that. Other times he tries to gently lead us to take the right trail or go down the right road. This morning, the right road would have been a good decision to make. That'd be the mercy of God to be on the right kind of road. Now, he's saying the Holy Spirit here will show you how to minister God's mercy. And I'm teaching this because this is how we receive God's mercy too. Now, we minister God's mercy not just at church. Church should be a no-brainer place to minister mercy because you're with God's people. But when you're at work or you're downtown or you're with a mixed group on the outside, I want to challenge you where most ministry happens is not at church. 95% of the ministry should happen in your life away from here. You're here less than 5% of your life, even if you feel like you're at every meeting and everything that we do. If you were at everything, it'd be less than 5% of your life. So recognize 95% of your life, half of which maybe is sleeping or a third of which is sleeping. You're sleeping. But the other two-thirds, God's looking for you to be Him in every situation. And He's love and He's mercy. He's love that can snatch some people out of a mess. He's love that talks some people over into the right direction. He does it both ways. Now, he says some will respond to God's mercy. Some will respond to God's mercy. Others will respond to fear of destruction. I was saved in a hellfire service. And I wanted to accept Jesus, but I wanted to escape hell. And I was 11. And I remember thinking what hell would be like because the preacher talked about it. I mean, that was 1971, actually, was hearing that message. And the message convinced me to get saved because I think God looked at me and said, he's at a pivotal age and I need to snatch him. Why? It literally, that message caused me to fly out of my seat and run through the Peoria Civic Center to get down to the front. By the time I got down to the front, I was pretty far removed because a whole lot of other people were afraid of hellfire. Did you know God can do it that way? But did you know that's not his first choice? His first choice is mercy. His first choice is for us to just believe that he's good and we want him because he's good. But when that doesn't work, we can want him because the devil is bad. Do you understand that? The Heavenly Father will use whatever means he has to. And then there's a third option. No response at all. Some people don't respond to anything. I just choose not to believe that. Sadly, they don't understand it won't change God. He wants us to believe because he sent Jesus for us first to experience his mercy. So many times when we get in trouble, maybe we didn't hear the mercy cue. Maybe we didn't hear the easy way from God. Maybe we didn't embrace his word. Other times the enemy just comes in to try to steal, kill, and destroy because that's what he does. Now, I need to know, am I making a connection with you? See, I want to guide you through how we receive from the Heavenly Father. Jesus said throughout his ministry that he was representing his Heavenly Father. He said that because he wanted us to understand that's who we're receiving everything from. Heavenly Father's who sent Jesus in the first place. Jesus didn't make up his own mind. Heavenly Father said, you're going. And Jesus knew that, why they're that close. Now we become dealers in this mercy of God. I want you to understand that you will have a greater capacity to receive the mercy of God by doing the mercy of God, by choosing to be that person that he can express himself through, by being the one that decides no matter what goes on with people I'm in contact with, I'm going to think love and mercy and I'm going to act that way. I'm going to choose to act that way. Why, we represent our Heavenly Father like Jesus did. Now, Jesus had a few hellfire sermons, if you want to study them, but he had more mercy ones. He had more opportunity for mercy. Why, that's his first choice. This is Psalm 103. I used it last week to point out what God wants to do for us so that we can receive of that, and I believe you're going to receive of that this morning because you're receiving of him. But he said, bless the Lord, O my soul. That's the key to everything. We just say, Lord, I trust you and I bless you. If we do that, he starts gushing on us. Did you know it's that simple? If you've ever been in really big trouble and maybe your car was rolling into the ditch and you said the name of Jesus, he's gushing toward you. And that's all it takes. I think that we can whimper and not get the name out and he'll gush toward us. I mean, if you're a parent, you understand that. I mean, you understand little sounds that little babies make mean something, and you learn quickly what it means. And if you don't know what it means yet, you get in there anyway to figure out, what's that sound? What's that about? That's our Heavenly Father. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That means we tend to forget. That means we are likely to get talked out of him if we don't think about him. And when he says his benefits, it's twofold. I want you to understand. His benefits are twofold. They have two parts. The first part is his dealings with you. That doesn't sound like a benefit. His dealings keep us out of trouble. His dealings are a benefit. When I preach, half of what I'm preaching is about his dealings. Why? Because that's how he does things. He has dealings. Then he has something else we would call the payout. Or the reward. Did you know you don't get the reward without the dealing? But there are a lot of people thinking in today's world that I just want all the blessing, and they don't understand there's a dealing to get the blessing. Now, how do I say this tactfully? I don't know. Sometimes I just feel like I've just got to come out and say. When we just come and want to hear only about the blessing, we'll never get there. Because it's always twofold. And that's sometimes why we feel conviction. We think, well, Lord, there's got to be more to it than that. There is. We have to let his mercy work in us the dealings. We have to let him help us. I'm going to go through the five areas that he says he has mercy. Did you know God has mercy to begin with to save us? That's the first one. But that's as far as most people go. And it's easy for us to believe God loves us enough to get us out of hell. Isn't that pretty easy to believe? At least you learn to accept it as truth and say, yes, I need that and I want that. I did that as a little kid. I don't know, they're talking about a terrible place, worse than anything I've ever heard of. I don't even want to look in the door of that. And I think for a split moment, I could see in the door and I could see the devil wanting to get me and eat me up. Now, we see God's mercies to do that, all right. But we don't look beyond that to understand He made a lot of things that available to us simply because we believe that He is who He is. We believe He is who He says He is. Now, so this says, I will believe His dealings, or I will allow Him to deal in me, and then I'll receive the benefit. Now, I believe that when you choose to believe God's word in these areas, you can begin to minister that to others. When you begin to receive it, I've gotten better at ministering mercy. I've learned through the years some things about the mercy of God. The mercy of God has a specific way He wants to operate, and it isn't always the way people think. Sometimes we think, well, mercy is just being nice to and doing good things for everybody. No, I pointed out the meaning of the Greek there about having some discernment and discretion, because He's letting us know sometimes when we think we need to be sweet, we need to grab Him by the hoodie and jerk Him out of the fire. Why? He knows what's about to happen next. And I remember getting up, Dad saying to me, "Are you all right?" I said, "Well, I heard. I think it bruised me pretty good." He said, "Well, we didn't get burned up anyway." And I never forgot that. What's a bruise when you could have been disfigured? What's, you know, and that's how we have to let the Holy Spirit lead us, but always with the end that's obviously for the good. Now, He says first, who forgives all your iniquities? That means He forgives our sin. I remember as a 10-year-old child, I did not have any problem coming up with sin in me. You know, some of it wouldn't be, some of it you would think, well, what could a 10-year-old kid do? 10-year-old kid can get in a lot of trouble, have a lot of crazy thinking. First of all, recognizing I needed a Savior. But I remember having faith for that right away. I remember when I started talking to the Lord about it, immediately I felt differently, and I couldn't get up and run fast enough to get down there. And I don't know, there were probably 5,000 or more people in that auditorium. I didn't have any problem making my way down there, not concerned that I couldn't find my way out. I wanted to get there because I chose to believe what I heard. Now, I would not say I heard the goodness of God. I heard the fear of hellfire. I don't know what it takes for some people, but it took that for me at that time. Say, as a 10-year-old child, yes, I didn't know much about Heavenly Father. If the preacher talked about it that day, I didn't get that. I heard John 3:16 that Jesus came to forgive me of my sins, and I heard that there was a devil and there was hell and it was real, and I remember Him quoting a scripture, "Hell's gates yawn at the thought of you coming in. They open wide." That's enough for me. You want to be able to discern how God wants to reach into someone's life with mercy. What's mercy have to do with the outcome? What's going to happen? Sometimes it seems a little extreme. Who forgives all your iniquities? Then He lists a second one. Who heals all your diseases? If you have faith for your sin to be forgiven and not go to hell, you have faith for Him to heal all your diseases. Same faith. Same Father, same blessing, yet we haven't heard as much about that as being a mercy. We somehow think, but I didn't take care of my body, or everybody's got the flu, or everybody. All of that may be true. Did you know mercy, the connotation to mercy is never that we deserve it, just that He wants to give it. Did you know we serve that generous a Heavenly Father? Many times we get hung up, and I've done this, and I'm teaching this from experience. I've done this in the past. I've thought, well, I had this coming to me because I was stupid in this area, that area. God works with stupid. He loves stupid. How many times have I had to say to Him, "Lord, here I am again. I've done something really stupid. You know what? He never says, I know you, idiot. He never said that. He's always gushing with what I need without making me have to feel bad about it. The feeling bad about it is what the devil does to try to trick us out of receiving mercy, making us think somehow we're supposed to do everything right. If you still think you're supposed to do everything right, you belong on another planet, because we cannot be that good. So what he's saying here is he heals all your diseases. Now, I believe that over the course of the next few months, you're really going to stir your imagination to receive the mercy of Heavenly Father that way. I believe you're going to be quickened to receive it. I've been the beneficiary of many things, miracles and healings in my body that I did not deserve. I've been foolish in taking care of this body in a lot of different ways over the years. Now, God always does it the same way, though. There's some dealings in there. And this is where sometimes people get uncomfortable. Two weeks ago when I talked about some sin issues and what they caused, talked about overeating. And I didn't mean to make anybody uncomfortable, but I've been uncomfortable before about that. Did you know that's the beginning of dealings? Where I can be praying and saying, Lord, I want to live to be 100. I'm sure he's thinking, I want you to. But then the next thing God does is he starts dealing with us and getting in there and messing in our business. And usually we want to say, that's the devil. You know, I should be able to have anything I want. You can. He gives us that liberty. He still loves us the same. He doesn't change his love toward us. He doesn't change his mercy toward us. But the first part of his mercy has to do with dealings. I remember when he said to me that I needed to curtail certain things out of my diet. I said, but Lord, I grew up on that. I like fried chicken. And I like chocolate cake. We serve that here, if you didn't notice. I like this. I have a German baker in my heritage. I like sweets. I have an Italian grandmother that cooked pasta home from scratch. I had every excuse for every kind of food group that I liked, and it was all kind of bad. Now, I share that because I remember the dealings of God, and I could have dismissed the dealings of God. I don't want to make an adjustment. I would still be 100 pounds bigger than I am today if I had not allowed him to begin to deal. The mercy of God will deal through what we call revealing. He'll show us something that he wants us to do that will help us. And we can say, oh, that's the judgment of God. That wasn't the judgment of God. He was keeping me from having a bad experience down the road where my body would have started falling apart a lot sooner. See, the body only gets so many years here. It's destined to die and you get a new one in heaven. So our body is the least part of our life that God cherishes, yet he chooses to live in our body. I remember one day when I was quarreling with the Lord about this, I was fasting. Scripture says we're supposed to fast. I hated it, still don't like it, but I obey the Lord. And just being honest with you, why? Like most folks, I like to eat what I want when I want. Now I'm a little more disciplined about it, but you know, when the Lord says fast and do without for a few days, I don't. But Lord, you made it. You blessed me, and I have it in the refrigerator. And it's going to spoil if I don't eat it, you know. Cheesecake keeps a long time, if you didn't know. I say that and you laugh because it's so real. And the dealings of God start in something like that, usually. I mean, we get trapped into thinking, I need to be really spiritual. It starts with little stuff like that, of letting him deal. And when he deals, then a payout comes. The reward comes. And if we want the reward of long life, then we have to let him deal with us in ways that he can extend that long life. Anything that we want from him to heal in our lives, we have to let him deal so he can heal. Now, I'm setting you up to receive of the mercies of God. Why? He knows if you will agree to your little part, his mercy can come in and do the big part. His mercy can come in and make it possible, make it doable. That's why he says all things are possible to him that believes. Why? He changes our nature so that it can happen. The third thing, he redeems your life from destruction. That means he will buy back whatever part of your life that has been destroyed. I don't know if everybody here's experienced that or not, but I've experienced areas of life that I just thought, no, forget that idea, that dream, that's gone forever. Or you had somebody that you have loved stolen from you, went early. Or you had a career path you thought set in stone, I'm going to work that job for 40 years and retire and do well, and that job went away. And you could see it fading away and thinking, what am I going to do? That's going away. What am I going to do? That's a life that you thought was built on a plan that was going to work. And the enemy recognized the devil gets to mess with the world, and we're in the world. He's not out to mess with you. He's out to mess with the world, to cause chaos and problems for people. But when we lose something that we thought was secure, we have to recognize God's mercy will build us back, bring us back into security another way. I'm a believer in that. I've seen him do that again and again in my life. We moved away, we moved far away to do the plan of God. And we got there, and the plan of God that we thought was going to be in that place, that we were promised was going to be in that place, none of it was the case when we got there. So, well, you can work if you want to work for free for, you know, the next five years. Who could work for free for 5 years? We could not. We were young people. So, well, we can't work for free. We'll help you for free, but we got to work. You know, we got to make a way. And I remember thinking, God, here we are in the middle of North Carolina, in the middle of a drought. Here we are with no jobs. No, he started putting things together. But I remember choosing to believe that something was just going to remain destroyed and hopeless, or choosing to believe God had something. And I remember when he said, go take that job. And I thought, I don't want to do that job. But I went to do that job. It wasn't what I would have picked, but it's what he picked. And it turned into, for our lives, a gold mine at the time. Turned into, he redeemed our life from destruction. We got out of the house we were in was okay till mold took it over, and then he got us out of there just in the nick of time. Our first child came. We moved to the new house just in time for the first child, just in time for everything started to come together. I want to tell you about the mercy of God. It wasn't that we did things right. I couldn't sit there and say, but God, we moved here because you said so. I started doing that. Then I said, God, I don't know if this was your will or not. We're here. I thought it was your will. Have you ever gotten into a situation you thought was God's will? You said, what's up with this? This has turned into a mess. This is worse than I ever... if only I could turn back the clock. I remember that wrestling. What is that? That's without a quickening, that's where we go. Without the Holy Spirit helping us, that's where we go. We think, God, you led me out here into the desert so I would die. Ever see that in your Bible? Yes, that's in your Bible. God, you brought me out here so I would starve. Where's my manna? But when we turn to him and we expect his mercy and grace, we know, even if I did everything wrong in this situation, you love me and you will rescue me out of this. That's our Heavenly Father. I don't know about you, but I want one like that. I want him to be, I don't want him to do like earthly fathers might do and say, but son, I warned you. You made your bed, now sleep in it. I want to reach out to that father and tell him what I'm thinking. Why? That's not the nature of Heavenly Father, is it? Now, I'm trying to show you the difference in our thinking so we can embrace who he is, because if we embrace who he is, we get what he has. Now, who crowns your life with loving kindness and tender mercies. What does that mean? It means he puts something on your head that changes the way you see life. He puts something around your thinking to understand who he is. He tells us in the scripture we're to rule and reign in life as kings because of what Jesus did. A lot of people today take that and throw that out and say, that'll never happen for me. Here's how it happens. We reign in life like he does by thinking loving kindness and tender mercy. And we have to kind of start that with our own self and say, you know I'm imperfect and he loves me anyway. Ever seen the little kid that had such confidence in mom and daddy that they just run to mom or daddy and jump on their lap and everything is fine? That's the Heavenly Father. That's what he wants us to do. Even if we were the one misbehaving in the situation, even if we did something very wrong and daddy just saw it, when we run to daddy and jump on his lap, he takes us and he's our protector. And he's the one loving us. And everything else kind of fades into the background. Everything's okay. I watched a little four-month-old Avalyn. When something rattles her a little bit, you just hold her. She just puts her head right against your head. What's she saying? I'm safe now. Why? She doesn't know whether to be scared. If I make faces at her. I'll make a little face like, talk to her. Sometimes I think the beard scares her, and she'll, and then I change my eyes to love eyes real quick, and she's happy. And she put, why, she's trying to figure out, what's this dude communicating, making faces to me? And that's kind of how we have to approach our Heavenly Father. We're learning of His nature. We're learning of His mercy, and we need to give Him opportunity to express Himself in our lives instead of believe things that we've heard that were untrue or things that we thought because we didn't know any better. Now, who crowns your life with loving kindness and tender mercies. That means He makes us think about that so we will rule and reign that way. Your authority in Christ Jesus always involves His mercy and His love. That's what He's given us authority to operate in. Fourth, He says, who satisfies your mouth with good and pleasant prosperity. What does that mean? He'll give you right words because you're going to have what you say. He'll put good things in your mouth because it's coming from Him, and you say, I like eating good. I like receiving good. It's literally a picture of this communication with God. To know that He's the source of good, and it begins with changing our mouth. Now, we've talked about He puts a crown on us to change our thinking, to loving kindness and tender mercy. When we put the crown on, you're supposed to feel the weight of that. So, this is the presence of God making me think love when, it's a challenge. Or making me think tender mercy when I don't think I deserve it. When we begin to do that, the next thing He will work on is our mouth. He'll make it full of tender mercy. But it'll be the same kind of tender mercy that can reach in and snatch somebody as the kind of tender mercy that'll woo somebody out. Now, why do I say that? Because sometimes we think wrongly about Him and we don't think right about ourselves. He says, first I'm going to change your thinking about... He's changing our thinking about ourselves because we see Heavenly Father right. Then we start to see each other the right way. Jesus commanded us to love one another, but we can't really get our arms around that until we let Him love us that way. Especially, there's no greater humility in the world than being loved like that when you know you deserve something else. That's a true God experience. Who satisfies your mouth with good and pleasant prosperity, and He does all of this, there's a cumulative advantage. I'm a believer that the older we get, the more we should be in tune with the goodness of God. The more we ought to be an example of it, the more we ought to understand it, the more we ought to experience it. Why? He's not dealing with us for nothing. When I preach something that leans toward dealings, it's because He wants to do something. When I say something that results in the dealings of God, then we begin to pray and say, Lord, I want the benefit of this. It's going to help my life. You're going to bless me for the good. It's going to bring good things across my lips, good thoughts in my head. It's going to convert my way of living into Your kind of living. Then He says, this is what will happen. So your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, everybody preaches that verse. I bet I've heard that preached 100 times. But there's a way we get there. We don't just get that. Our youth is renewed like the eagles because we let God deal with us in everyday life. We let God deal with other people through us in everyday life. You want to have your youth renewed like the eagle? Be loving and full of tender mercy like God is, and He says it will happen. How we think about ourselves and how we think about others. We never hold someone else to a standard higher than we hold ourselves to. How good to remove our personal standard, our human standard, say, I'm just going to do it God's way. And I'm going to sow what I want to reap. And I want God to be very generous. You hear me say this. When I appear before the Lord one day, if He says anything harsh to me, I want it to be, you were just too merciful. And I'm going to say, because I'm like you. Why? I know I can say that to Him because I have the proof. I'm going to get there and say, but I preached Psalm 145, and I was saying, that's who our... If you're going to do anything, you're going to be oozing, gushing with mercy. You know what? He'll like that. Well, He doesn't want us to enter into a side of judgment or harshness. He just wants us to love people and help people the same way. Now, All this so your youth is renewed like the eagles. That means to be repaired and restored back to prime condition. I believe that. Why? He said he would do that because of his mercy. Now, his mercy might mean we have to obey what is the scriptures say. There's something that he'll have you do. Can you believe that? There's a dealing. There's something you're going to do that's going to release your faith for God to gush mercy on you. That's a pretty good deal. You know, to me now, how much better I feel. Pretty good deal. There was a lot of dealings. Why? I was a little bit stubborn. I stand in front of the mirror and say, but God, but God, but God, but God. And I had to hear myself do that and recognize I'm denying his mercy. I'm denying his help by making my excuses. I share all this today because I want us to make a shift, a conscious shift as a church toward understanding the nature of Heavenly Father. That that's who he is, and that's what we're to be aggressive about. You may not have the word of the Lord for people. That may not be your job at all. Nowhere in there does it say you have to have the word for everybody. You have to have love and tender mercy for everybody. We can do that. I believe that we can do that. Why? We look at the situation and say, I'm going to get in love mode. Sometimes when we're needed in that mode is when we least feel like getting in that mode, because somebody has released something other than love in our direction and we want to bounce it back. He's saying, no, you let that fly by you and release love and tender mercy. I have found that it is shocking to people when you do that. When they're really bent out of shape and you respond in a way that is just loving and kind and gentle, usually the next thing that will happen is they will ask a question that they need to ask, and it gives you room to speak into their life. God's calling us as a church to minister that way. I'm not against you knowing the scripture. The more you know, the better off you'll be. Because the devil's only real weapon against you is ignorance. That's all he has left to work with. And we overturn ignorance. That's why we teach the Bible here. We overturn it so we know what does God say about things, and we want to side with him. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. I'm going to pray. Thank you again. Tolerating weather and coming out. If the mailman can do it, Dave, we can do it, right? That's right. He has to get out no matter what. I was thinking this morning, you know, if it was a Monday, everybody would have probably gone to work. I don't know, schools may have been closed and this and that because different people have different opinions. But I thought to myself, you know, it's just an extra way to honor the Lord when there's a little something in our path that makes it difficult. And I know that you're those kind of folks because you made it out today. I'm going to open the altar as we close the service for anybody who wants to come and wants prayer for the mercy of God to enter into your life in any area. You can tell me or not tell me, but if you want prayer, we're going to pray prayer of agreement that you become like a lightning rod. I'm going to tell you what I'm seeing as I'm talking to you, that you become like a lightning rod that is suddenly grounded and connected to the nature of the Heavenly Father, and it's going to draw the power of God into your life. There's a storm going on around you, but God has a power to break through the storm, whatever it is. And he's going to come into your life with, a jolt of newfound energy and faith, because that's who he is. He's out. That's how he's gushing toward you. There's friction around you. Know that many times we think the friction is going to lead to destruction. No, the friction around you leads to mercy if you reach out to Heavenly Father. Think of it this way. They tell you lay down in the storm if you're on the golf course and don't hold a golf club. No, you want to hold this one up and say, God, get me. Get me. Why? It's his power and his energy. It's not going to hurt us. It's going to only help us. That's who he is. Heavenly Father, this morning, we give ourselves to you and we honor your name, Lord Jesus, this morning in this house. Jesus, you are the author and you will be the finisher of our life of faith. Jesus, as you've come into our hearts and lives, you're Lord and Master, and we give you room this morning to we ask you, allow us to receive the love of our Heavenly Father. Father, you sent Jesus as the example, and we receive of him this morning. Now, Father, for every person here, I ask that you reach into the heart and lives of every person that's expressing faith to you, that we have a quickening in our heart that results in some kind of dealing but moves us over into your mercy. Father, I thank you that life will never be the same because we're loving you. I'm thankful that you cause our lives to be turned back to a restored and healthy and perfect state. That, Father, we become one with you. Our fellowship is sweet with you. We're not worried about what's to come. We're excited about what's to come. And that's the difference. Father, thank you for faith in this house to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of his love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.